Well, you know, something my mom always said, whenever I'd ask why, she'd say, "Because I said so." Now, does that sound familiar to some of you out there? You know, though, it was never good enough for me. I always wanted to probe and beg for deeper answers, for more explanation. And this morning, I've titled this message, "The Great Because." God gives us a whole lot more than "because I said so." Last week in Colossians 2, we looked at religion, and we looked at the four myths of religion. And now we're going to look at the real reason, the because, the why, that we can live from as we're in Christ. Why live the Christian life? Why make upright choices? Why live in the way that God desires? What's the why, and where's the because? We begin in Colossians 3, looking at the great because. First, Paul tells us, if you've been raised. Therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Heaven is a place that we're going, but heaven is a place that we're already seated. We've been raised. And so Paul begins this chapter by telling us, I'm not asking you to think lofty thoughts for no reason. I'm not asking you to think heaven's thoughts for no reason at all. I've inspired you, and I've given you the why, and here's the because. It's because you've been raised. And so we often think of heaven as a place that we're going, and we even wonder if we're going there. Some of us, we get to a place of doubt, and so we look at it as a destination far off in the distant future. And what God is saying is, we're already there. Now, I know that sounds mystical and far off for some of us, maybe for all of us. But the reality is that every single person in this room is somewhere spiritually. We are somewhere spiritually. And the Bible tells us there's two possible locations. We are in Adam, or we are in Christ. And if you are in Christ, then where are you? Raised up with Him and seated with Him at the right hand of God. And so God is saying, think heaven's thoughts. Focus on heaven's perspective. Not because I'm asking you to be a fake. I'm not asking you to think heavenly when you are earthy. I'm not asking you to think clean thoughts when you are dirty. But instead, I've given you a great because. And it's because you've already been raised and seated in heaven. Do you see heaven as a place that you're going? Or do you see heaven as a place that you're already seated? Set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on earth. Man, earth comes at you, doesn't it? Earth comes at you at mock speeds, and it freaks you out, and you're riding that roller coaster of the soul. Your emotions are all over the place. Your thoughts are all over the place. And yet, our spirit is anchored. You know, the Bible talks about the subtle difference between the spirit and the soul. And the Bible is speaking to our spirit, not the roller coaster of our soul experience, but trying to show us that we set our mind on things above because our spirit has been raised and seated above with Jesus Christ. And that's real, and it's now. Everyone's human spirit is somewhere. Ours is raised and seated with Jesus. Set your mind on things above, not on the things on the earth. Why? Because you've died. You've died. It was 20-some years ago. I was at Furman University, and I was sharing Christ with someone, and it got to the point where we just weren't understanding each other. I mean, he was talking about church and being good and reading his Bible and trying to be a good person and how he never really qualified for religion. And so finally, I threw up my hands and I said, you know what? I don't know how to say it any other way, but becoming a Christian is like dying and waking up the next day a totally different person. Christ invites us to die. We say, I'm going to give my life to Christ. I'm going to devote my life to Christ. God can't use our life. He kills it. And then He gives us His life. Christianity is not devoting your life to Christ. It is Christ devoting His life to us. Christ becomes our life. We have died. We have died, and our life is hidden with Christ in God. Again, we've seen that we're seated in heaven, and now we're seeing that we're safe, and we're hidden, and we're tucked away with Dad, that our life is safe. And so we're wondering, why should I love people? Why should I care? Why should I transmit the life of Christ when I can be out there? And the reason is that it all comes from the place of safety. It all comes from a place of security. It all comes from a place called heaven. There's a day when we go to heaven, but right now heaven has come to earth, and it's in the person of Jesus Christ living in our hearts today. We've died and our life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, I gotta make God first. I gotta keep God first. This is what we say. I gotta make Him a number one priority. And so, you know what? There's God, and then there's country, and then there's family, and then there's job. And so I got my priority list out and I gotta get Him first. But wait a minute. Oh, I thought too much about family. So now God got to second or third place now. I gotta get Him back to first. And then I got real busy at work and God lost first place. So I'm doing the shell game. See, I'm trying to get God first. Get Him first. Oops, get Him first again. Rededicate, redevote, get Him first. You know what? God is first. We don't make Him first. He is our life. He's not a priority in life. He is our life. And when we try to get Him to be first, guess what? It's about us analyzing how we've been doing lately. And the Scriptures are saying that Christ Jesus has the preeminence. He is first. He's first among all things. And we recognize it or we don't. But Christ, He's more than a priority. He is our life. And that is the great because. When He's revealed, we also will be revealed with Him in glory. Christ is your life. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. People bow down to idols. They worship them. We devote our bodies to something. We take a position, a stance, and we worship. What God is saying is, I live in you. This is my temple. I'm the closest thing to you. What does it make sense to worship other than me? Consider our members dead to sin, but more, alive to God. Heaven has come to earth. Beneath our flesh and bones, everything that we call body, that's where Christ lives. We say it when we're three. When we're 5 years old, we invite Jesus to come live in our hearts. When we're 28, we say we invite Christ to come into our life. Whether it's Jesus in your heart or Christ in your life, the point is this. There is a place within you that you call you. I can't see you. I only see your body. You can't see me. You see this earthy shell. You, as a person, will live beyond this. You're invisible, your spirit and soul. In that place, Christ dwells, and He's real, and He's now, and He is the great because. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon who? The sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked, when you were living in them. Remember, as we've journeyed through the New Testament message, there's a place that we are in, but there is also choice about how we walk. And so we used to live in the flesh. We used to walk in nothing but the deeds of the flesh, but now we are in God's Spirit. There's two ways to walk, but there's one person that we are in. And we are in Jesus Christ. If you have received Him, you are in Him. And the whole point of this is, don't be in Him and then offer your body to someone else. It doesn't make any sense. It's two-timing Him. It's adultery. And what He's saying is, we're just not made for it. But now you also put them all aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. Why? Since you laid aside the old self. Behavior verses. Did you see them? There they are. Behave. Do the right thing. Choose. Why? Because I said so. There's more than that. It's because of what I've done to you, because of what I've done for you, because of the surgery that I've performed on your heart, because of that, because you've laid aside the old self, don't lie to one another. Since you laid aside the old self, what in the world does lying have to do with our salvation and laying aside the old self? The liar has been laid aside. The person that was a liar by nature, the person that felt he or she needed to protect themselves, to cover their back, to create good impressions, to keep the lies coming, looking over their shoulder, that person died. It's a strategy we still know. We could walk in it, but we're not made to. We died to it. How can we live in it any longer? Don't lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to what? To a true knowledge. What we need to know is Jesus. We need to know what we have in Him. And so we're being renewed, not made cleaner and cleaner and cleaner and cleaner. If you died in this instant, you are clean and heaven ready. There is no last minute car wash before you hit heaven. Have you ever noticed that? That the blood of Jesus Christ is the only washing. Amen. And it was once for all. And so the renewing of our minds is not about getting cleaner and cleaner and cleaner and cleaner before God. It's about getting healthier and healthier and healthier and healthier in our thinking. Why? Because God loves us. He doesn't want us thinking unhealthy thoughts. He doesn't want us wasting our time doing stupid stuff. So we've put on the new self, and it's being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the One who created Him. A renewal, which, by the way, doesn't matter if you thought you were a lawkeeper, if you never thought you were a lawkeeper, if you're a Jew, a Gentile, if you're running around saying, Moses who? Or if you're an expert in Moses, it doesn't matter. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised. Heck, you can even be Conan the Barbarian, it says. No offense to California. Scythian, slave, free man. Christ is all and in all. That's why it doesn't matter. Because Christ is in all, and Christ is all. We don't make Him all, He is all. And He is the great because. There's more to the why. As those who have been chosen of God, chosen, given a purpose, the ecclesia, worldwide, throughout history, given a special purpose to display Jesus Christ to the world. As those who have been chosen of God, holy, beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Get dressed. What do you do every morning? You get dressed. I like to tell the story anytime I see this put on verse. I mean, it's peppered throughout the New Testament. There's put on love, put on Christ, put on this, put on that. It kind of reminds me of my wife's, one of her favorite shows, you know, What Not to Wear. You know what I'm talking about? It started out British and then it became American and it's in New York now, and they run around to people's apartments and houses and they hold up outfits and they show them, this is what you should be wearing. This looks so much better on you. The stuff you've been wearing, I mean, frankly, it looks ridiculous. I mean, I'm putting it mildly compared to these ladies. The scriptures are telling us that some things, we can put them on, we can wear them around town, but they look ridiculous on us. Some people make it work, but it's not pretty. Put on a heart of compassion. Why? Because God recreated us in Christ Jesus as compassionate people. He's not saying be a fake. He's not saying pretend that you're compassionate. He's saying I took out your stony heart and I gave you a tender heart towards people. I gave you my heart. And so put on compassion because you are a compassionate person by nature. I didn't crucify the old self and recreate a new self that was bitter and unloving. I crucified the old self and recreated a new self that was like me. A new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. And so when I give you the put on verse, God is essentially saying, act like who we are. Wear clothes that fit. As Paul says, as is fitting for saints. Holy, beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, gentleness, humility, patience. Wrapping up, he says, just as, another because, here's another why, staring us in the face, because the Lord forgave you. Bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you. So you look at it, and you stare up to heaven, and you say, you let me off the hook? I mean, this is real? That you totally canceled the debt? That I don't owe you anything? And then on top of that, you take the distance and you remove it. And you come to me and you become Emmanuel to me. God is with us. His divinity compatible with our humanity. And you come down into this earthen shell and you say that we have this treasure, which is you. And it's in these earthen vessels so that the glory can be of Him and not of ourselves. And He allows all this. And then someone wrongs us, and we're struggling and we're fighting. I mean, we got people that talk about us. Do you have people that talk about you? I've got people that talk about me, and it's not nice. Why can't we all be brothers? And so what do you do about that? I mean, do you just live in letting that stir up in your mind? I mean, just replay it over and over and over and get bitter and get ugly about it and get angry? Or do you want freedom? Because I tell you what, we talk a whole lot about freedom when it comes to freedom from the law. And freedom from rules and regulations. But what about freedom from bitterness? You want that? You know, sometimes that's just a choice that we have to make. But I tell you, there's a why. There's a great because. And it's because all of the bitterness and all of the anger and all of the frustration that God could have held toward us, He released it. He said, I choose, not with emotions, but with my will, I choose to forgive you and release you from anything that you owe me, even if you do it again. And then here we are with the same choice. But I'll tell you what, I forgive people to the degree that I believe I've been forgiven. I don't mean to, but I pass on whatever standard has been given to me. We do this. Unless the pattern is broken, we do it. Fathers, we tend to act like our fathers acted toward us. Mothers, we might end up with some habits that came straight from mom. Some good, some bad. But ultimately, Jesus Christ comes into our lives to break the pattern and shatter the mold and say, I will show you love. I'll show you how to let someone off the hook with no strings attached, even if they do it again. A choice we make over and over and over, yes. But look at the other choice. Who wants that? Take off bitterness, put on compassion, wear what fits, just as the Lord forgave us. Beyond all these things, put on love. Are we confused about the Christian life? What does it look like? I mean, it's so complicated. No, put on Christ, put on love. That's about it. Love covers a multitude of sins. But knowing what that love looks like, and what to expect from Him, that's what the Scriptures are there for. It's love, and then on the next page, it's love, and then on the next page, it's love. And then wait, let's review. Wait a minute. No, wait a minute. It's Christ. And then on the next page, it's Christ. And then on the next page, it's Christ. Are you looking at a set of behaviors, or do you see Jesus? Jesus is love. Put on love, the perfect bond of unity. So here's the why. We're asking why? Here it is. Because we've died. Because our old self has been laid aside. Because we've been raised. Because Christ is our life. Because we've been chosen. And because we've totally been let off the hook, completely forgiven. So have you seen the why? Are you living in the great because? Any do that we do begins with done. It's all because of Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the great because that even before we knew what you would do, that you came and you released us and forgave us and offered us life. Life we didn't even know that we needed. And you set it all up and you planned it ahead of time. It was all rigged and then you invited us to the table. You invited us to a spiritual Sabbath that last day. Having done everything you needed to do, you invited us to sit and rest. Father, we thank you for what you have done. We ask that you'd remind us over and over of the because, the why, the great reason that is you. In your name we pray. Amen. Maybe you've wondered, what place should behavior have in the Christian life? You've grabbed on to some grace. Maybe you've seen a little bit of God's love, and then you hit a behavior verse and you say, oh man, where does this fit in? Do I have to behave? Do I gotta behave? I hope what you've seen today is that we take the Word of God and every way in which He's taught us to live, and we take it and we put it on a crane and we lift it up, high up in the air. And then we bring in what's called a foundation. And we push that foundation underneath. And we build everything on that foundation. The great because is that foundation. Jesus is the why. It's His finished work that is built on. And as we grow, we even grow from a growth that comes from God and God alone. Have a great day.